You're listening to the Full On Happiness Podcast, episode 14.
Are you longing to be full on happiness? Well, you found the right spot. I'm Gina Martini, and this is a podcast about the pursuit of living a fulfilling life.
Hello, my friends. How are you today? I'm just going to reach out through this microphone and give you a big hug. Thanks for hanging out. I had a great evening just now. I went to a hot yoga class. I took my sweet old time in Whole Foods. I got a green juice. I got a delicious dinner. I took a hot shower. I put my yoga pants back on and I am feeling good. Talk about a mood boosting formula. Yoga, Whole Foods, healthy food, shower, comfy clothes. I mean, come on, right? Thanks for hanging out again. I'm so glad we're back. And thank you to all of you who sent me the sweetest notes last week. I'm seriously so honored. Thank you for listening. And I'm so grateful that what I talk about interests you and you feel like it's touching your life. Like I'm so humbled and so honored, and it keeps me going, and it's such a gift to be able to do that for you. So thank you for telling me. This episode is we're going to see where it goes. Sometimes when I get talking about these topics, maybe I'll go off on a tangent. But we're just going to go with it. I was a psychology undergrad. So we're talking about a lot of concepts from psychology, a lot of things that I learned in my training as a transformational nutrition coach, and the things that really helped me in my own journey, specifically with food and body image. So yeah, a lot of things that really helped heal my relationship to food, myself, helped end some of those self-sabotaging behaviors, understood why I was doing the things that I'm doing things that I was doing that I didn't even want to be doing. But really, that's the whole secret, right? We say we don't want to be doing them, but they are serving a purpose. So anyways, hopefully if any of those things you've ever struggled with, hopefully you'll really enjoy this episode and you'll learn some new things. And my intention is that, you know, what we talk about comes out very clear and concise and simply, because sometimes when it comes to like behavior change and brain science and just, you know, more concepts of psychology can get a little confusing. So my intention is to present the information as clearly and simply and honorably as possible for you. And also, I should say, remember, I'm not a therapist. I truly have just been trained in this method, some of the methods that we're going to talk about, and have applied them to myself as well as many clients. But again, not a therapist or a psychologist, even though, you know, maybe that's on my life bucket list. You never know. Okay, so the first thing, even though I curate from the week what made me happy, this one is really something that has helped my happiness for the past, you know, several years. You know, when I learned this stuff, especially these first, you know, two-ish things that we're going to talk about, when I learned them, like, it really started turning over what it meant to live a happy and fulfilling life. So these things necessarily didn't happen this week, although I did work on some of them and had some conversations about some of them with clients this week. So that's probably why they're top of mind. So the first thing is, we're going to call it inner child work. And it's really kind of understanding the root cause of our behaviors and why we do the things that we do. So really quickly, I want to review the way our mind works. That's just a small topic, how our mind works, no big deal. So, okay, first I'll review this with you. So we have our conscious mind, our pre-conscious mind, and our unconscious mind. Our conscious mind controls all of our logic and reasoning. It's our, you know, it's the part of our mind that says, I need to lose 20 pounds. We have our pre-conscious mind. This is the stuff that's on autopilot. So this is like, we don't need to think about how we're getting from, you know, home to work, work to home, right? It's on autopilot. We know how to do it. We don't have to think twice. Okay. Then we have our unconscious mind. Sometimes this is referred to as the subconscious. This is like where all of our unconscious beliefs and programming are stored. These are you know, they're thoughts that are a little bit harder to access. We have to dig a little bit deeper for them. There's an image of an iceberg, and basically if you picture an iceberg in the water, there's a water line. We have the conscious mind is above the water so we can see it and look at it. The preconscious mind, the water line is pretty much over the preconscious mind. So it's a little bit below the sea level. And then we have our unconscious mind, which is below the sea level, below the ocean, kind of below our awareness, if you will. So the unconscious mind is where things go to get stored that we don't really want to think about. Right? There are memories of past pain or trauma or grief or things that have caused any pain or anxiety or conflict. So anything kind of like just the memories that we don't like to think about, they get, you know, they're probably things that we don't think about every day, but they're stored in our unconscious mind. And here's the interesting thing with how our brains work and how, you know, our behaviors work is that really only 5 to 10% of what we do in a day, you know, all the actions we take, the habits we have, the behaviors we engage in are controlled by our conscious mind. 90 to 95% of what we do in any given day is controlled by our unconscious mind, our unconscious programming, the beliefs that are stored in our unconscious. So part of my own journey with food and body image and weight release and self-sabotaging behaviors was starting to see what was going on in my unconscious mind, because logically, rationally, consciously, I didn't want to be overeating. I didn't want to be binging. I didn't want to be over-exercising. I didn't want to carry extra weight, right? Like obviously, consciously, no one wants that, but unconsciously, the unconscious mind, the things that were there were driving my behavior, and it was serving a purpose that I didn't understand until I did the work around what purpose it was serving. So I think with self-sabotaging behaviors, whether it's binge eating, overeating, anything that's any behavior that like we don't really want, but we're still doing, here is a real big wow moment for me is it's serving a purpose. We don't do things that don't give us something, that don't benefit us in some way. So that is a really, was super interesting for me. So if there's anything in your life that you're doing that you don't want to be doing, and it's like a self-sabotaging behavior, or again, my wheelhouse is around the eating stuff, but you know, choose your own thing that you're like, why do I do this? I don't want to be doing this. Like ask yourself, okay, what, like, what purpose is it serving? How is this benefiting me? How is this somehow working for me? Because I think that there's so much wisdom in that answer. So basically, okay, so we got the how the mind works. And I think this is really important, because especially in like the nutrition world and eating and food and, you know, food psychology is, we all know how to eat healthy, but what I'm more interested in doing, which I did apply to my own life and have helped other people do, is understanding why we don't eat healthy or why we don't eat the way that we want to eat. So, okay, now that I basically gave you the way that the mind works, the thing that was kind of this happy, fulfilling practice, even though it's like not necessarily happy, but once you go through the work, it helps you cultivate a lot of happiness, is what I like to call our inner child or inner child work. Okay, so I found that most of the things that happen to us that are really, that are formidable in our lives, that really kind of dictate the way that we see the world and what we believe about ourselves and about the world, happened between the ages of 0 and 8. You know, that was some of the principles I learned in a lot of my training is, yeah, a lot of the stuff that our beliefs are being shaped between 0 and 8. And a lot of times either painful things happen, things are said to us that shape the rest of our life and how we see ourselves and how we see the world. And, you know, it doesn't have to be between 0 and 8, but I found that that's pretty common. I found also too, through my own journey and through working with a lot of people, that it can happen pretty much up until like high school. So anywhere from like 0 to like 14, 15, 16, I would say, because especially when you get in those teenage years, that brings up other things. But yeah, so again, so here we go. This connects back to the unconscious mind and the these unconscious beliefs that are really the things driving our behavior, is that, you know, they're tied, the beliefs are kind of tied to these like painful, triggering moments. Okay, so some examples are someone said something to you that was really hurtful. You got left out in some way. Someone shamed you or teased you. You know, a lot of times it's about being told you weren't good enough, or you were rejected in some way, or you were told you were a failure, or you had to do better, or you were backward, or you should do things differently, right? It's like, it could even be a little micro conversation. It could be something in like your fourth grade class, or could be a conversation you had with a family member, or could just been, you know, I've heard all this also called before, like your nest energy, right? So what you were taught and, you know, trained to believe in your nest, meaning like your home where you grew up. So if there's a connection in my work that I've learned and discovered and taught, which is basically about the things that are that we believe now are taught to us when we're young, and a lot of the healing comes with unwinding these unconscious beliefs and going back to some of these moments where they occurred, whether it was, again, I described some scenarios, a conversation, a comment, whatever, and going back to those moments, you know, say it's like your 8-year-old self and someone says something to you, and it's your older, wider self transporting back into that moment where it happened and literally holding the hand of your, you know, inner child, your younger self, and telling him or her what she really or he really needed to hear in that moment. What do you wish that she knew? What do you wish that, what did she need to hear that she didn't hear? And how could, you know, have that, what she needed to hear, have basically formed a different belief about herself and about the world? Oh, this work is so transformative because, you know, it will help reverse some of these deep unconscious beliefs about ourselves if we can like almost reprogram or like go back and just, it's almost like a do-over, so that you stop carrying around these beliefs about yourself and about the world that you don't want anymore, because you can, as your older, wiser self, you can go back and like, you're almost like reprogram it. I have many situations in my life where I envision kind of going back and, you know, holding the hand in a certain situation and saying things like that she just needed to hear. And I've worked with many people who, you know, a lot of this stuff is like that, you know, people don't believe they're good enough, or they're, you know, they need to be a certain way in the world to be, you know, to get love, right? So it's really telling that child self, like, you're perfect the way that you are. It's okay to make mistakes. You know, you don't need to change yourself. You don't need to change a thing about your body. You know, this is what it means to, this is what it means to have a healthy body. And, you know, I just, whatever the dialogue is that's true for you, there's a way to basically go talk to your younger self and nurture her and nourish her. And I've heard this called like reparenting. A great tool that I learned from, I've mentioned her before, Christine Hassler, is, and I assign this to a lot of clients, is getting a picture of your little girl or little boy self, and you know, wherever these kind of formidable memories were formed for you, so maybe where some of this, like the situations or the trauma happened, and forming a relationship with that little girl self. And you could either keep the picture in your wallet, you can take a picture of it and put it as your phone background, or just keep it in your iPhone, whatever, and develop a relationship with her. You know, what did she need to hear that she didn't hear? What do you want to tell her? And how can you basically help her form beliefs about the world, about herself now as your older, wiser self, that, and that way, you know, she can start to reprogram and like she can start running the show. Because what I learned in my own journey is a lot of the behavior that I was doing that was self-sabotaging was because my little girl self was rebelling, trying to prove people wrong, and a whole host of things. She didn't believe in herself. She didn't believe she was good enough. So all the behaviors she took were in alignment with rebellion, proving people wrong, and continuing that thought loop of I'm not good enough, I suck, so I'll just eat this and stay in this, you know, kind of shame. Might as well just be in this vibration of like not liking myself. So yeah, really just, I hope that spoke to you if you needed to hear it, because this is probably the most transformational work I ever did, was kind of this, what I'll call blanket term, this inner child work. Okay. That should be enough for there, because this also connects to part two, which is the practice of forgiveness. This is also probably the most healing work I've ever done in my life is forgiveness. And I find that throughout life, it's a forgiveness journey, right? It's the virtue of forgiveness is, you know, we forgive ourselves, we forgive others so that we don't hold angst and hurt and resentment and then harm ourselves. Because what I found, right, is that forgiveness and holding on to that anger, hurt, and resentment is very symbolic to holding on to weight. In my journey, the weight was just an emotional weight, an energetic weight. And the behaviors I took, you know, the self-sabotaging behaviors were part of the programming from the unconscious mind, right? All that stuff that was stored in there. And it was also the lack of being able to forgive some of that hurt I was carrying around. So I think a lot of times with forgiveness, people don't, you know, you probably already know this, but sometimes people don't want to forgive because they think that it's condoning what was done to you. And really, it's not about accepting or condoning it or, oh yeah, no big deal, whatever, that was fine, yeah, I forgive you. When it comes to forgiveness, you don't even have to forgive the person that you hold anger and resentment toward. It really is a very personal experience. But it's, again, very symbolic for holding. If we hold that anger, we're holding on to, in my experience, you're holding on to weight and pounds. So really quickly, I wrote about this week on 365 Days of Full Unhappiness, but just as a little repeat here, the roots of the word forgive come from the Latin word perdonare, which means to give completely without reservation. So that means we're giving it away, we're giving it up, we're releasing, we're surrendering, we're letting it go, we're seeing you later, right? So another thing that is related to forgiveness that has been super freeing and has brought me a lot of happiness and joy and fulfillment is this idea. It's that people are just doing the best that they can with what they've been given. And in that way, it helps cultivate compassion and peace and love, right? That person, he or she was just doing the best that they could with what they'd been given. Oh, so it kind of helps you it helps lift the anger, right? And it helps put you in a space of compassion and forgiveness. And what I've also found is that it's really, really important to forgive ourselves, because we oftentimes beat ourselves up. We think that we're terrible people for what we've done. And so I really want to encourage you to also practice the self-forgiveness. A simple practice you can do is literally filling in the sentence is, I forgive myself for. And it could be saying something mean. It could be gossiping. It could be spending, you know, 10 years of my life hating myself. It could be, you know, anything that you feel like you're carrying as a burden that you're ashamed of. You know, write out, just start that practice of forgiving yourself, because it's super freeing and liberating. And a couple other things, another writing prompt you can do as related to if you feel like you need to forgive someone else is writing down, I forgive you for not being the fill in the blank I needed you to be. I forgive you and I set you free. So that's a really good one. You know, what did you need someone to be that they weren't for you? And write that out, write it down. And then also related to writing is you could write someone who you really need to forgive, that person who said that thing to you or did that thing to you. You can just write them a letter. You know, maybe at first it's about how you were angry with them, but also start writing a letter about like why you want to forgive them and why you're ready to give up this burden that you're carrying around and make peace with it. And another great practice is the loving kindness meditation. That's where you visualize, you know, someone you love very dearly, you visualize an acquaintance, and then you visualize someone that you have a little bit of a struggle with, and you just envision this well of loving kindness flowing, you know, kind of enveloping you. And it helps kind of diffuse some of that anger or angst you might feel for that person that you that you kind of have that struggle with. I'll put a link to one of my favorite loving kindness meditations in the show notes. I believe it comes from the Hay House Meditation podcast app. So yeah, that's what I've got to say about forgiveness. It's a spiritual practice. Forgiveness is a spiritual practice, really just laying your burden down, releasing it, surrendering it. And again, a game changer for me is people are just doing the best that they can with what they've been given. So picture that person that you haven't forgiven yet and really think, gosh, that person must be doing the best that they can with what they know how and what they've been given. And that's always been a really, really helpful thought for me. So I want to extend it to you. All right. Let's see, where are we going to go to next? I guess really quickly, one more thing I do want to say about the forgiveness thing is another shift in words is instead of saying, oh, that all this stuff happened to me, how can you shift into all this stuff happened for me, right? Because it's about learning the lessons. I talk about lessons so much on this podcast. When I re-listened to my show from last week, I was like, oh my God, all I say is the word lessons. We're just lessons. We're just students over here. But that simple shift of 2 to 4, I think is a big awakening too, as well. How can you shift? Okay, all this stuff has happened for me. This person said all this stuff for me. And then it's all, yeah, just, it kind of gets you out of it and it puts you more in a place of empowerment versus disempowerment. I think that's also really healing. All right. Okay, moving on. Next one. Where are we going next? All right, inner child work, forgiveness. All right, number 3. This is a playful one. A great happiness practice I have found is going on adventures in your own city. Every place I've ever lived, San Francisco, New York, San Diego, I have made a really big point to really adventure and explore and do random things that are literally in your own backyard, right? Isn't that the saying? Like, yeah, like everything's at your fingertips or everything you need is in your own backyard. So I just remember, you know, in San Francisco, like going on adventures, you know, taking the bus at all parts of town, you know, trying new hikes, new restaurants. In New York, like I probably talked a lot about this before, I would walk on the weekends, like miles and miles, and explore a new part of town. So, you know, I feel like a great happy practice is really diving into the place that, or to the offerings that your city has to offer, the place you live has to offer. It could be something so small, whether it's like going to a new park or heck, even like going to the library, Or in my case, what I did last weekend is I went on this awesome bike ride on Coronado Island. And it's, you know, again, like I've lived here for over 2.5 years. I think it's like 2 years and 9 months now. And have I ever done something like that? No. So I want to encourage you to just explore in your own city, because I found that it has brought me a lot of happiness. All right. Number four, we're almost done, is this idea of not having to fix yourself. So I heard something great today that went something like, the focus is progress, not perfection. Progress, not perfection. I think a lot of times we focus, so we got to do things perfect and right, and got to follow this magic formula and have it all, you know, systematic, formulaic, you know, boom, 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 done. But really, I think that a huge thing is focusing on the progress that we're making. I think I probably quoted this on here before, but I think Tony Robbins says, progress equals happiness. So when we're making progress towards something, that's the point, right? That's the whole thing. It's the journey, not the destination. Just being acknowledging the progress we're making. And then again, with the fixing. So I think so often when it comes to self-help and personal growth and self-development, that sometimes, you know, we can get a little burned out. And I find this as true for me sometimes is, it can just be overwhelming. Like we constantly have like feeling like it's such a chore that we have to fix ourselves. And I really want to tell you that you are not broken and you do not need fixing. And I think when we can approach self-help and personal growth and development from that place of, I'm already whole and complete. I just need to kind of remember that. You know, I need to remember that I'm already perfect, whole and complete and divine love, right? I think that makes the whole, you know, this whole journey a little bit more enjoyable when you're not like, there's something wrong with me, I have to fix myself. I know that's been really healing for me. I also think it's important to find a balance between, it's important to find a balance in this kind of self-help world, right? Like, you know, sometimes we can't be working on ourselves 24/7, all hours of the day. Like we have to relax and have balance and be who we are and sink into the joys of our lives, right? So, and only you are going to know what that balance is. You know, how many things you can listen to at a time or books you can consume at a time. And I think it's a beautiful lesson, here we go with lessons again, of balancing the masculine and the feminine energy in each of us, right? So when I see feminine, I see feminine energy, I think about nourishment, nourishing and supporting and nurturing, right? Like feminine energy is like the divine mother, right? So I think the feminine, it's a little bit slower. You're more into your intuition. You're more motherly, maternal, that kind of thing. And then our masculine is more like that dominant accomplishment. You're fast, you're forward motion, you're go, 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 you're strong. You know, you're like I already said the word dominating, but yeah, you're, so I think it's really important to find your own balance with this stuff, right? Like all of us have both energies inside of us. And I think living a happy, healthy, fulfilling life is kind of finding our flow and our balance in both our masculine and our feminine energy. I think that's what I really wanted to tell you. Okay. Last thing, guys. This came to me actually in the yoga class I mentioned at the beginning of this episode. And it is, so I told you that every week I want to talk about like a body love practice of the week, maybe a self-love practice of the week, whatever you want to call it, but really help with kind of that loving yourself, being appreciative, liking your reflection, having healthy body image. So this one is really like a mindset shift. And I was in dancer pose and my cousin is the teacher and she's such a good teacher. Oh my gosh. And today her lesson was all about like expansion and like, you know, think about like just expanding your practice, expanding your mind. When I think of expansion, I think of openness and wholeness and just evolving, expanding, growing, allowing. Okay. And so I was in dancer pose and she was like, try to see if you can see your toes above your head. And so I just expanded a little bit more and I could see the toes over my head. And here's the thought that came in. It was like, this physical body is the vehicle for my spirit and my soul. It holds, yes, it's this tangible physical thing, but it's so much more than that because it houses who I am and the essence of who I am, like our soul, right? Our souls. And I started thinking about how much our body endures, right? When we get the flu or a cold, all it wants to do is heal itself. Our immune system kicks in, right? If we get a cut, it wants to heal itself. If we get a bruise, it wants to heal itself. Our bodies are miraculous and amazing. And I think a body love practice is to remember that and to remember how special it is that you get a body to house your beautiful soul. And I know this is a really spiritual concept. It's like spiritual body image. But I think it's miraculous that the body is designed to heal itself. And from my seat, I think a lot about the abuse that I put my body through. I mentioned it a little bit. The over-exercising, the overeating, the trying to diet, all that whole cycle. And it recovered. Like it's not mad at me. It's like, you know, you were doing the best you could. It's okay. And it's designed to bounce back. It's designed to take abuse and be strong and get through it and endure whatever comes at it, right? Think of even in the environment too, like pollution and toxins, all that, like it's designed to heal itself. So this is just a little shift and a little offering I wanted to talk to you about, because sometimes I think it's important to literally just stop in our tracks. If you are in the body shame or self-hate cycle, to really, you know, picture that leaving your body and thanking your physical body for existing, because if it did not exist, you wouldn't exist. It is the vehicle by which you can do anything, and thank your body for always being this physical thing that is designed to heal itself and to be healthy and fully expressed. So yes, thank it, because without your body, you wouldn't exist. And I'm so glad you exist. Seriously, I'm so, so glad you exist. So I want you to think that way too. All right, guys, that are my five things. Told you, we're getting real deep. Okay, snack of the week. You can probably hear the wrapper. You can hear the package. Okay, so this isn't even on the market yet, but I really wanted to talk to you about it because I got a sneak peek of the product. So it's called the JERF Bar, and JERF stands for Just Eat Real Food. And it was created by one of my dear friends, Sean Croxton. And I got to do a post on Sean soon, because if it wasn't for Sean, you know, I probably wouldn't even know what podcasts were. Check out his work. He has three podcasts. Underground Wellness is his older one, The Sessions, and The Quote of the Day Show. I'll put a link to all of those. But funny story, when I first met Sean, we were at a mutual friend's birthday party, and he got to chatting, and he told me he ran a podcast. And the first thing I said to him was, oh, podcasts are making a comeback. I said this to the biggest podcaster, like, on iTunes. And he still wanted to be friends with me after that. So anyways, I'm so grateful for his friendship. And he just came out with this awesome real food bar. There's three flavors. They are cinnamon raisin, which is the one I tried. It's so good. Cherry and seeds, and chocolate coconut. So I believe they launched this week. So if you're listening to this, the week of May 15th, I think they're going to be available soon. But the ingredients, as you can hear the wrapper here, super clean, almond butter, pea protein, everything's organic. How many grams? There's 13 grams of protein in here. Very filling, very nourishing. I feel like I live off protein bars and green smoothies, and of course, I mean, plenty of other things, but they're like a staple in my life. So this JERF bar takes the cake for snack of the week. I'll put a link to the bars and to all of the social networks that you can follow Jerf Bar and make sure that you know where you can get them and where you can order them online. So thanks for hanging out with me. That was really fun. As always, I appreciate you being here, and we're all in this together. Remember that. We're all in this together, making our way. I love you so much, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for tuning in, friends. For more happy lifestyle inspiration, visit fullonhappiness.com. I'll see you next week.